So, you've decided to unleash this Pete, Matt and Kimber podcast. Go you. Now, unleash your limitless potential with Fitstop, Australia's most exciting fitness family opens in Perth from Saturday, May 1st. Download the Fitstop app and select Melville.
The search is still on for Mix 94.5's The Chosen One. $15,000 currently. If we don't find you by 3 o'clock today... Today being the 27th of the 4th, 2021, for anybody else who's listening to this podcast days down the track, or even years, who knows what the future will hold.
Hey, Pete, while you say this, Matt's fossicking through the bin looking for our clues because we
got him.
We just sort of,
got him.
You know, we got enthusiastic. We thought today would be the day we find them and we wouldn't need to do the clues. But we got some for you.
Let me unravel this piece of paper.
R&B Fridays.
R&B Fridays.
Red.
Yes.
Gold.
Yes.
Northeast.
Yes.
What else is on the top of my head?
Fremantle,
Dockers HQ,
yes.
Kookaburra,
yes. Two more.
There was.
Think about your car.
Zoom.
Correct. Mm. And the final one. Think about the night sky.
Seven Sisters.
Bang, Kimber Cahill.
Oh, look at you go, mate. Throw those all together.
And what
give
you
us
got?
A call. Well, hopefully, Mix 94.5's The Chosen One, and hopefully $15,000 coming your way. As soon as you hear that moment where they say, call us now, do that and get yourselves the cash. Good luck. On with the podcast.
Enjoy that.
He's back at work after wiping the floor in the state election and almost wiping out the Liberal Party. How does it feel to have so much power over us? Please welcome the Premier of WA, Mark McGowan. You're
unbelievable. Good morning to you, Premier.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Mark, everybody did the right thing, lined up for testing, and so far good results from that?
That's right. So far, we had about 30,000 tests since Friday, and but for those three that we know of, they all came back negative. So that's a good outcome overall. All the close and casual contacts, bar the one that we identified on Saturday, they all came back negative so far. We're still awaiting a few results, but it's all good news so far.
That's great, Premier. Now, I hesitate here because I have a question for you, but you looked a bit grumpy at the news conference on Friday, and I understand you got a lot going on and a lot of responsibility, but I do want to ask a question that I think, you know, some of the other journos were asking as well, and I don't, you know, forgive me. So on Friday, when we heard about all this happening, and, you know, we're taking it seriously, of course we are. We have done for a long time now, and presumably, unfortunately, we may find ourselves in these situations again. But the big question for me and certainly my household was, if we're locking down at midnight tonight, why are people going to things like the basketball and the rugby?
Yeah, it's a very good question. And the reason was we didn't finally decide or work out what we could do until late that afternoon, about 4 o'clock.
Sure.
Then in order to get all of the measures in place, whether it was roadblock south, whether it was the, you know, basically the drafting of the rules, because we have to under the law draft rules, in order to get it all in place, we couldn't do it within a few hours. It took a little while to get all that done. So basically we did it as quickly as we could, but there were certain practical things that we couldn't do as quickly as people might have liked.
I understand that as an answer, but in terms of, like, so let's just use the basketball as an example. I know it would be terribly inconvenient for people to rock up and find that the doors were closed and, you know, that you can't come in. But is inconvenience a good enough reason to not enforce these important measures?
It wasn't inconvenience. It was the fact it would have been unlawful. So what we tried to do was get it in place as quickly as we could. But we sought the advice of the police commissioner. He basically said, I'm not going to be able to things in place before midnight, and so he was up till midnight signing directions, drafting directions, all that sort of stuff. So it was just a practical reality of where we're at that point in time.
Okay, I didn't realise that. It's actually a lawful thing rather than a health issue in that moment.
So what we have to do is, under what's called the state of emergency, you have to draft directions, and they have to be signed by the police commissioner because he's what's called the state of emergency coordinator.
Okay.
And they have to cover off all these things, you know, what's open, what's closed, where the roadblocks are, what they are. And, you know, you have to look for whoever is exempted from it. You know, it all has to be contained within these directions. So I asked people on Friday afternoon not to attend these things.
Sure.
I actually asked people not to go south. But I couldn't make it a requirement until such time as we had these things in place.
Okay, that's clear. Thank you.
Premier, given we know about the disease and or the virus rather and the incubation period, and whilst I'm thankful that it was only a 3-day lockdown period given how much I discovered my kids can eat over the course of that time when they're stuck at home, how come it's only 3 days and we weren't set out for another 5-day or longer this time around?
Well, you learn as you go. So what Brisbane did and when they had a recent lockdown is they did 3 days to see how they went, and you ramp up the testing over that period of time and you test all the close and casual contacts. So there's best part of 1,000 close and casual contacts who were at the restaurants or at the supermarkets or service stations where these people went to, and also all their family members and the like. So what you do is you put in place as much testing as you can. We did 30,000 tests over the last few days. You test all those people to see if there's been any spread of the virus, and that allows you to determine whether or not you go longer than 3 days.
Right. And will we get a make do or a make good on our public holiday?
Do over Anzac Day public holiday.
just wondering if we kind of get our time and a half for that.
Yeah, I'll think about that one. That's a good. No one has raised that with me, and I normally try and think of all the options. I hadn't thought of that one. So, so we do the Anzac Day public holiday again, is what you're saying.
Yeah, we don't need a lot of notice.
Like, no, we don't.
It doesn't have to be. It's like you can just turn it around. If you wanted Friday morning, you could just be like, hey, guys, work is off.
Hey, you guys are in radio. Every day is a public holiday for you.
All right, Premier. Thank you for joining us this morning. We can't imagine what it would be like to be in your position at the moment, but continue doing a great job. And, we'll chat to you very soon. Oh, just quickly, one other thing. Will we have another presser later on today with more information updates?
Yeah, the plan is I'll do one this morning. As soon as we can get as much information as we can, I'll do one this morning.
Okay, no worries. Thank you, Premier.
Thanks very much. Pete, Matt and
Kimber. I had an education over the weekend.
Good.
Now, I have heard about TikToks.
Even just hearing you
I
say
have
that out
heard
loud.
About the TikToks.
I understand that there's a thing called TikToks, not the biscuits. The craze, the internet craze that is...
It just gets better and better.
But, you know, if someone had actually asked me, like, okay, before the weekend, if someone said, hey, Matt, what's a TikTok? I'd say, I think it's where kids like dance and then they post it to the internet.
Right.
You'd be pretty spot on. That's pretty close,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
But basically, my stepdaughter, Steppy D, is loving on this Nicki Minaj track at the moment. That's St. Louis on deck. It's Delaware, Connecticut. It's New Jersey, got hella bricks. It's Queens, Brooklyn, and yeah, they rallying. Bronx, Harlem, and Staten Island. Pimpin' ain't slick, and it ain't seen. Okay,
oh,
so
that's fat.
That is a fat track from Nicki Minaj with a hip-hop artist known as 2 Chainz.
Featuring
there. Now, that is a TikTok bit, which the kids are loving, and I went down a rabbit hole with Steppy D watching people TikTok dance to that.
Mm-hmm.
And I said to her, and indeed my wife, T, said, oh, so that's a Nicki Minaj track. Let's look at the original video clip. That was a mistake because that particular clip was not the sort of thing that I was expecting to watch with a 9/10-year-old.
And Nicki Minaj throws in some fruit flavour, doesn't she?
There was some language, Kimber.
Yeah, I thought
there
might be.
Some wiggling bottoms, quite scantily dressed wiggling bottoms.
Mm-hmm.
But that was okay. We got through that. And I said, tell me more about this TikToking. And we went through a few things. There was another track that she loves. Or was it, what did I say, do second?
Renegade.
Renegade. You want to play that one for me?
Oh. Sounds just like the Nicki Minaj track.
Sure does.
Okay.
Is that the backing track Nick Nat used when he rapped his book?
Oh, maybe. But so basically, Kimber, that thing, right, I listened to that 14 seconds about 274 times.
Right.
As I watched different people do the same dance.
Mm. Wow.
That's TikTok.
Did you do the dance, though?
No.
Did you get stuck into
Steppy
the dance? Because that's
do
the next
them.
Step.
Yeah. Steppy can do them. And, of course, the first time I realised that she was into it was when I got muscles like Superman.
I got muscles like Superman trainer.
Which sounds like Nicki Minaj
and
like Renegade.
And she actually taught me this dance, but I pulled a hammy and I haven't been able to do it since. But, you know, it was, and again, I listened to that track about 274 times as we
watched
different people.
Has your life changed now that you're across the TikToks?
Well, it hasn't changed. It's just now that I feel like I can say, no, I don't want to see any more of that with some authority because I've put myself through it.
Yeah, good. Well, it's a real weekend of life change
for
you.
It really was, yeah.
Sport can be good on a Saturday. It can be great on a Sunday. But it's bloody awesome on a Barra Monday.
Or in this case, a Barra Tuesday. Good morning to you, mate.
Hey, guys. So are you excited about the Derby week? It's definitely on. There's going to be fans there, probably 30-odd thousand. And it's an Eagles home game. Perhaps not travelling great, the Eagles, it's fair to say. They're the nominal favourites. We'll hear from the coach in a moment, the Eagles coach, about that. He has a different opinion. You know, the Eagles have won the last 10 derbies.
Really?
Oh, so the last time the Dockers won one was back 6 years ago, Pete, when you were in your 20s. And coming off...
Just.
And the Eagles... I won't say where I was.
It were a time before mobile phones.
And the internet. Eagles coming off a 97-point loss. There, I've said it. 97-point loss. Can you believe that? I've got a theory. I'll do CSI Barra here. I'll tell you what happened. This is what happened, in my opinion. They had 5 A-graders out, okay? So Shuey, Yo, Kennedy, Hearn, Flying Ryan, already out. Pretty sure subconsciously the boys thought, you know what, we haven't won. They haven't won over there since 2006. So they haven't won in Geelong for 15 years. Last time they won, Cuzzy and Curie were going beautifully.
Oh, wow.
Not so good now. But they left Kennedy and Hearn at home, okay? Mm-hmm. And I think they probably could have played. And I think they thought, you know what, let's keep them for the Derby. Mm-hmm. That was like a trigger, a psychological trigger to the players. Geez, I don't know if the team, I don't know if the coach thinks we can actually win. Maybe we can't win. And then Jeremy McGovern got injured.
Mm.
That was the final. The dam broke. They went over the falls. It was all too hard. They chucked their bike in the bush. They put the queue in the rack. And they said, get us out of here. And by the time they'd got out of the place, they were 97 points down. And that was the end of it.
Well, never let it be said that footballers don't use their brains. They've been very affected.
You know what they say about footballers? You've got to be smart enough to understand basic tactics and dumb enough to think that footy's really, really important.
Oh. And there's a lot of breakfast like that. Radio, isn't it?
You've got to convince
exactly
yourself.
The same.
The Dockers, though, mate.
They're flying.
Empty stadium. Yeah. Did you go, Pete?
No, I didn't. I wasn't allowed in because, game day and answer. But no, I wasn't. And, I mean, to be honest with you, who would I be talking to anyway? Because there's no crowd there.
Oh, yeah, good point.
Could have been some of your best words.
Yeah.
Just crossing to your back
room. Don't waste your good lines.
But no, I put on a rack of ribs and sat down in front of the telly and got stuck in, mate, and had a good look. And I tell you what, David Mundy.
Oh, mate.
Again.
Amazing. That goal where he leapt over someone. And I think we talked about it, Pete. It's because he's playing with young people. It keeps him young. It's like me being on radio with you guys. It makes me feel really good.
Yeah, we've done this with Labrador puppies. When one's getting a little older, you get a new one in, freshen it up a bit.
He could be leading the Brownlow.
I was going to say, like, that's the talk that I'm really starting to hear, particularly in the last couple of days. And I think it's the coach's votes. I think he's
leading
topped.
That.
Yeah, he's leading that. And I think he's topped in 4 games so far for the season.
So the Brownlow, it'll either be him or Max Gawn from Melbourne that'll be leading at the moment. And the oldest Brownlow winner ever, Barry Round, back in 1981. Yes. He was age 31. Barramundi is 35.
There you go.
If he gets there. So, you know the funny thing about the stadium being empty? You could hear all the sledging. Mm. And apparently there was a classic. There's a guy called Jack Zeeble who's got red hair, who's the captain of North Melbourne. He must have sledged one of the Dockers blokes. And they came back at him and said, mate, I'd rather be dead than red.
Well, you know what? And this is quite serious. In the soccer, you know, they've been having empty stadiums for a long time now, and there's been a lot of big repercussions from some of the sledging that it's been heard.
Yeah,
racist, homophobic stuff.
But is anyone actually doing good sledging? They all just sound like losers from primary school or high school that have just never quite gotten out of. Like, if it was like clever or funny, we'd be like, yeah, you go sledge. But it always sounds dumb.
There was another one here. Can you pick up Sky Channel with those ears?
That's not bad.
That's sort of warming up, I suppose.
Warming up, yeah.
So Derby prediction, I'm not going to give one at the moment because I just think the Eagles will fire right up. Looks like McGovern will be out, but looks like Hearn and Kennedy will be back for the Eagles.
Surely Freo have got to be favourites, surely.
Well, this is what Adam Simpson said, because technically, according to the bookies, it's the Eagles that are favourites because it's their home ground and they've won 10 straight. But this is what Simo said last night.
Well, we've been beneath Fremantle on the ladder. They're in better form and playing more consistent. So it wouldn't surprise me at all if we're the underdogs. In fact, I probably think we are.
He's admitted that they're the underdogs. I never even actually heard Simo say that. He called their players weak and embarrassing. There's been honesty sessions at the club coming up, apparently. Honesty session, Kimber, is when you sit, it's so bad. You actually sit
We know what they are. They try to do them at our workplace, but we say no.
Very good. And basically, you sit there and 40 players attack you and tell you how weak you are and what a so-and-so you are and how bad you were. It's so bad, so hard for your self-esteem. Just a quick funny story as we go out. I heard a funny story about Luke Ryan and Brennan Cox from the Dockers. Mm. After a recent game, can you check this out, Pete? After a recent game, I believe, because Cox is such a risky fella, he ran out of petrol, basically.
Yeah.
And you know where he ran out?
Where?
In the KFC drive-thru.
So there's an honesty session right there.
He was stuck in the drive-thru and they were wearing their Dockers gear, so people were sledging him and they couldn't move. They just sat there and ate their chips until one of them went to the petrol station. And as we go out, Paddy Cummins at the IPL, he's on $3 million. There's a big push for the IPL players to come back from India because of what's going on in India. But the IPL is saying we're giving people joy, so maybe we do need to play on. But Paddy Cummins is on $3 million. He's just donated $50,000 to the Indian Health Service to help them get through.
There
so
you
well
go.
Done to him.
Nice.
Future Thanks, captain. Barra. Good to catch up with you, mate. We'll see you in a week.
See you, guys.
You know, lockdown obviously comes at a time where it's always inconvenient. It's like, here's your weekend, everything has to end, all your plans have to stop now.
Mm.
Some people are not comfortable with that. And so on the weekend, old mate from Mullaloo, bloke in Mullaloo went, I'm going to have some people over.
Oh, well, you probably already organised a party, right?
Yeah, it's COVID, it's lockdown, but I've had some people, I've had plans. Yeah. So if you all just come over anyway, what can go wrong? Well, the neighbours can report you to the police at 7 p.m. because they heard too much music coming from the house.
Yes.
And so the police rock up at this bloke's place in Mullaloo and go, 10 cars in the driveway.
Yeah.
Not even a, it's, you've got to think of it like a surprise party.
Yeah.
You know, if you're going to do the wrong thing, you've got to get everyone to park down the street
totally.
And stuff. Not out the front. So 10 cars out the front, cops go in and everybody hides. Now, people hid behind pot plants. Seriously, imagine going in as a cop. You're busting people for having a COVID party and they're hiding behind pot plants. Like, that's the worst hiding space I can think of.
That's brilliant.
You know, I think of, like, I tried to hide a beer bottle like a Strongbow when I was younger and I drank a Strongbow.
Yeah.
And I hid the bottle under my bed. Well, Mum found it.
Oh, you don't be
hiding. She's like, why'd you put it under the bed?
Totally, totally.
I didn't think anyone would go under there.
Yeah. Oh, God. I remember me and Adam Sidrook.
Oh, look out, Adam. Buddy. Oh, hello, yeah. Adam, if you're listening.
Sorry, Ad. Yeah, yeah. Haven't seen him for ages, actually. We were doing naughty things, throwing rocks onto a neighbour's roof.
Oh, good one.
Well, yeah, I know. The kids, don't do it. And an idiot here stood up to throw a rock and got seen.
Oh,
and
noticed.
And, you know, I could tell I'd been seen, right? People are pointing. So we run into his garage and hide. And we're just standing there and we can hear the
parents
coming.
All you hear is your own breath.
Oh, totally. The roller door goes up. We're still there standing like still in the darkness. And you know that feeling when the fluoros start to flicker on? They're not on yet. But you're just standing there like still hoping that if you stay still, no one's going to see you. And sure enough, we got in a lot of trouble.
Oh, that's gold.
Yeah. I love it.
A fair bit of hiding goes on at our place because the kids love to play hide and seek.
Yes, right.
I mean, don't get me wrong, I love my kids, but they are shocking at the game.
Yeah.
They are terrible.
But they should be good because they can fit inside the bottom shelf of the linen cupboard. When you go to hide, you're like, I don't fit behind anything anymore.
Yeah, well.
Can't hide behind curtains.
They don't think that deep. So they do hide behind curtains, but the curtains is funny because the curtains hang around about 10 centimetres off the ground. So you walk into the room and you can see a pair of feet just sticking out below the curtains. And then you say, Mila, and you hear coming from behind the curtains, and sure enough, there she is. But no, bless them, they give it a fair old crack, but they're terrible at
it. Well, that's the thing. Even from childhood, if you cover your head with the doona, the monsters can't get you.
Yeah, that's
if
true.
If you're covered, you're fine.
Well, I'm loving the idea of the police rocking up at this dude's party and people hiding behind pot plants. So tell us about your terrible hiding spot.
Oh,
the place where you tried to hide and you're no good. Thomas in Mandurah. Morning, Thomas.
Morning.
Thomas, how old are you?
Seven.
Seven.
Oh, if anyone knows good hiding spots at seven-year-olds.
He's hiding right now.
He's hiding right now. Thomas, tell us about your hiding spot.
My hiding spot is under the coffee table, and if there's a blanket over there, everyone will notice I'm under there.
Oh, I see. It's not so much a good spot. The blanket makes it worse or better.
Worse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a good spot.
It's a good spot. It's not a bad spot under the coffee table, except when your coffee table is a glass-topped coffee
table.
That's
the problem.
Yeah.
Other than that, it's actually a very safe and sensible place to hide.
Thomas, I recommend the bottom shelf of the linen cupboard because you can put towels and stuff in front of you and no one knows you're there.
Man.
Hey, Caitlin.
Hi, how's it going?
Good, mate. Terrible hiding spots. What do you got?
When I was about 6 or 7, had a bed with a valance on it, so like the little curtainy thing around the outside. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So run and hide from mum and dad when you're in trouble, and you do your commando crawl underneath the bed. But what little six-year-old doesn't think is that the curtain gets pushed in when you crawl underneath it. And I used to like shove all my rubbish under the bed as well, so there wasn't really much space for hiding, so I imagine my feet probably stuck out as well.
I know, spot you from a mile away. But also, God, I long for the day that I could still fit under a bed. When was the last time you tried to crawl under a bed? There's no way I'd get under there now.
No. The last time I tried to hide under the bed, I got down there and just went, oh, my God, does no one ever vacuum here? Matt and
Kimber. Now, I told you a few weeks ago I need a hobby because I don't want to just go to work and go home, which is what I've been doing for over a decade. And I thought, time to get some interests going on.
Yeah, someone told you there was a thing called life?
Yeah, but, well, what do you do for a hobby?
This is a judgment-free zone, my darling.
This is the thing, is I've started to realise how many people are like, geez, we don't do anything other than work and go home. But there's some wonderful hobbies out there, and I put it out there that I might just try a couple of hobbies a month until I find what I'm interested in.
Yes.
And when we talked about it on air, I got a call from Connecticut, which was a circus school out in Malaga. So I went and I tried my hand at some circus tricks.
I don't think this hand can hold on for very long.
That wants to go off of your butt.
This side's really hard. I'm much better on the other side.
And then knees on. Same hand. So left stays on, right comes off. Perfect. Straighten this knee. It's good.
I can't hold on anymore.
Not bad.
I had a lot of fun. It was actually a lot of fun, and I learnt like 3 tricks. But I'm up for something new. And I put it on our Facebook page at the time and said, if you do something a bit unusual or you've got a hobby that I should check out, let us know.
Mm.
And there was one on there that simply could not be ignored.
Okay.
So we've got a call now from Trish from Dog Sledding. Good morning, Trish.
Morning, Kimber. How are you?
Good. Trish, you went on our Facebook page and said, we do dog sledding. And my world stopped and said, what the heck is dog sledding? Can you describe it to us?
Certainly. So we do dry land dog sledding. When you say sledding, a lot of people would think you need sleds and snow, but not the case. So we do dry land with wheeled rigs and wheeled scooters, and we just go out into the bush and have a blast.
So the dogs are hooked up like, I guess you would, an Alaskan husky type thing when you see them pulling in the snow, except you're on a bike or a scooter or something.
That's right. So think of a bike with no guts in the middle and just a foot plate where you're standing. So the only thing moving you along is the dogs pulling you, and you just have a bit of a scoot. Most of the breeds are Siberians and Alaskan Malamutes, but as we've sort of moved on with the sport, we've got bigger and bigger, and we've got German Shepherds, Shorthead Pointers, Kelpies, Border Collies, Weimaraners. There's such a wide variety of dogs that just love to pull. They love being involved. So this is a sport where you can get the whole family involved, kids, dogs, go camping and just have a great time while exercising with them at the same time.
Trish, how many dogs to a sled?
It varies. Look, you can have one, up to six. There are bigger teams over east, but obviously we're a bit restricted with how many dogs you can have sort of in the suburban area.
Do they go a bit quick if you had six dogs on the go?
Yeah, they do move. Yeah.
Trish, I've got a Dalmatian that could really do with this amount of exercise. Is that the sort of breed that would be available to do that? And can you just roll up with a dog?
Yeah, exactly. We actually have a few Dalmatians in the club. We have a couple that are also deaf, so deaf Dalmatians.
Yes.
And that makes running very interesting because a lot of dogs are, well, our dogs are taught to turn on voice command. So you're running and you just simply call left or whatever command you use to go left and they will turn. A deaf Dalmatian makes it a bit more interesting, but certainly our Dalmatian, we would love to have you down and they would certainly have a go. We've got some beginner courses coming up this weekend, all going well.
Mm-hmm. Well, Trish, I can assure you I've got a Dalmatian that can hear and it makes absolutely no difference, certainly to my commands, that's for sure.
Trish, this is exciting and this is something I would absolutely love to come and do. And this is not any kind of cruel, like the dogs are happy to do this, right? This isn't like, you know, I worry when I go to the circus and I see animals that shouldn't be doing tricks and things, but they're happy to pull us.
They are so happy. You've only got to see the dogs at a race meet or even a training day and you just get the vibe off them. You've only got to pick up a certain lead or a certain harness and they know what's going on and they're jumping up and down. They are so excited. People get worried that you have to whip them. I assure you that is 100% cruelty free. If the dog doesn't want to do it, we don't push them.
Oh,
but
Trish,
you'll find 9 times out of 10 they fly. So we would love to have you down.
Can you guys loan me a dog? McGruff can't cut the mustard. he's a Pomeranian. He's got no chance. But if I came along, could I go dog sledding with your dogs?
Definitely. So we'll get together a small team and a wheeled rig. We'll provide everything, the helmet, dogs, just bring yourself. And yeah, you'll see that it's just really addictive.
Cool.
I started 13 years ago with one dog. Six dogs later, a caravan, our second four-wheel drive, and many, many bits of camping and sledding gear, and we're still going.
This is great.
Sounds fantastic.
This is so
good. Well, Trish, thank you for making the suggestion. This sounds like a super fun hobby. So, yeah, we'll hook this up and we'll make it happen.
Wonderful. Can't wait to see you.
Thanks for your call.
Thanks, Trish.
Your Pete, Matt and Kimber podcast may have finished, but your chance to enjoy functional group training with a strong focus on progression is about to begin. FitStop opens in Perth from Saturday, May 1st. Download the FitStop app and select Melville. Next 94.